Last year, they actually, in the last 2 years, Mittelstadt, Savoy, Cousins, like they actually made some trades.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, it's all dump trades and get pieces in and have three first-round picks and not trade their picks, and can they possibly trade a prospect away? Like, both the Savoy trade and the Cousins trade ultimately felt like they had to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
We'd reached a timeline where you have to trade somebody out of your prospect pool, and they did. And you had to trade Cousins. Like, it is dead here. You have to do it. And they got Josh Norris, who, if he's healthy, he's great. Like, should be very good, and one of their best players is their highest paid forward. So, if they trade Paterka and Byram, I do not think that those are...
Those aren't prospects. Those are different.
Those are NHL players, yeah. And to me, it would represent action. So, I mean, I like Paterka a lot, and I would love it if he were here, but if he wants to go and they can get appropriate value, then okay. You know, they're not looking for picks or prospects. I don't know. I feel like to say they're spinning in circles, sure.
I mean, they are.
We know that, but I'd settle for bigger circles. You know, 8th, 14th.
Well,
instead
really,
of just constantly 12th.
That's also like... Okay, what are you really risking by trading Paterka? Not to say you're risking nothing. What are you risking? You're risking
losing.
He's a very good player.
Yeah.
Very good scorer. Very good offensive player that you might think even has another step in him somewhere along the way. That's a good player. It's a good player you're risking losing for if you go trade him in a package that brings you back something else that's on the NHL roster. You're going to assume some risk of that. What's the Cousins trade? The Cousins trade, what was the risk in that? Was, well, Cousins maybe someday was going to figure it out, although I don't think that was ever going to happen here, and you're acquiring a player who might never be healthy for you and is under contract till like the sun burns out. So that's your risk. I'm going to need to know what they trade Paterka for. If they trade him and don't get anything that makes an impact on the roster next year, my risk is I had a team that wasn't that good in the first place, and my risk is that I'm going to be even worse than I was. Like, I like Paterka, too. Is he the catalyst for me going from 24th in the league to the playoffs? Maybe he is. Maybe there is a huge step in him somewhere, but that's not to make it sound like they could do anything and it doesn't matter because they've been bad. But I'm just not really in the mood to say anything on this team is worth freaking out about them trading away. They have been, this group specifically, go post Eichel and Reinhart, this group specifically has been letting them down for, it's like 6 years now, 5 years. Some of them are different. Paterka, it's three, right?
I might go off of the group's been letting them down and start to say the team has been letting these groups down, because that's consistently what does happen. Who did Eichel and Reinhart and that group let them down, or did they let them down? Like, the Sabres let them down.
No, the Sabres let them down.
And then this group,
I'm not as sure about that one.
Right, Thompson
and Dahlin, I would absolutely give that.
I've not let them down. That's right. Paterka did not last year. I mean, Cousins, sure. Guy had a bad year. They traded him away.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the Sabres have been letting the Sabres have been letting their young talent down for a while and not supplementing enough. And now they have a couple of veterans. I don't know. Like, we are at such a... I don't think it's worth yelling about anything that they haven't done yet. That's what I'll say.
Uh-huh.
What's the point to yell about a thing that they haven't done? They have not traded Paterka. And if they trade Paterka and get a really nice return, you might be happy about that.
Mm.
I'm trying to think of the guys they've traded away.
If they do trade him for... it doesn't sound like they would do this, but if they did trade him for like a pick and a prospect, then I think you're right to freak out. Because that's ridiculous if they were to do that. But I don't think they're going to.
When's the last time... I don't know, like, it's going to be different for every person, but when they traded Mittelstadt for Byram, what was the general feeling? Good? That's good?
Felt like you got to do that.
Okay.
Felt like,
what I'm looking for is, like, imagine them winning the Paterka trade. What's that look like? What does it look like? Doesn't it feel like... here's what I'd like. Trade two players for one.
That's what it looks like.
That's how I think you can find a way to you won the trade. Two for one. One for two, but you trade two for one. The best player comes back this way in a trade, where undisputedly that happens in a trade. When's the last time that happened? The Sabres undisputedly got the best player back in a trade. When was it? And don't make it like a pick.
No,
I mean, McLeod for Savoy is almost a little hard to do there. McLeod plays.
Well, I mean that
he plays in the league and Savoy doesn't play in the league. I'm talking the Paterka trade. You are going to get the better player back.
Mm-hmm.
That means you've traded an NHL player in a deal, and the best NHL player comes this way. The last time the Buffalo Sabres did that, where no one would dispute the best player comes this way, is what trade?
Is it Ryan O'Reilly? That is more than 10 years ago.
Kane, O'Reilly.
Norris, if he's healthy, I think is a better
but
player
that's
than
if.
Cousins.
That's an if.
I've got to put an if on that.
Right.
That's why that trade, when it's done, is, oh, all right, this has the potential for it. You got the best player right. in this trade.
You're betting on he's better if he stays healthy.
But when's the last time? I mean, even like the Savoy from a McLeod trade was, oh, all right, that's a top prospect you've given up for a third-line center. He's a good player. He's got he's got a sign, too, by the way. The Sabres have not signed him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they will. The idea will be after July 1st.
Yep.
When's the last time?
Because if it's not O'Reilly.
It's Kane. You send out Tyler Myers in that trade. You get Kane back.
That's before the O'Reilly trade.
Right.
So.
Okay, before that. When is it? I mean, we're saying that Jason Botterill never made a trade where the best player came this way?
I don't know that he ever made. I mean, he traded for Marco Scandella. Although, no, Marcus Foligno actually has had a nice career in Minnesota. I wouldn't say that. And that's such a minor trade anyway. Who kind of cares about
it? For Kevin Adams, the trades early on were about sending the best player out and getting a package of pieces you hope comes back. That's the O'Reilly trade, although Botterill made that one.
Right.
That's the O'Reilly trade, the Eichel trade. You know, you get nice pieces back, that's fine. But doesn't it feel like – it's almost like we want the Sabres to have the offseason that we also said the Bills were supposed to have, but the Bills need it less. The Bills didn't go out and get their whale. They don't really need that whale. They can go out and just kind of supplement and you know, eat their vegetables and be fine. And maybe some of those players turn into great players. But for the Sabres here, what if I sent you Paterka for – you want to get stupid?
Go ahead.
Ottinger. Something like that,
mm-hmm.
where the Sabres say, you know what, enough of this. We're going to get an established best goalie. That's what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's
the one thing they haven't done.
We find our way to an established goalie that rocks. You know, last year we were talking about Hellebuck because he was unhappy.
Sure.
I don't know who that is, but.
No, you picked the right name. I mean, his coach that hates him got fired.
Right, so he's probably not leaving.
He's probably okay.
So that's why I said let's
get
stupid.
But they do have guys to pay, and he's got a huge contract. And if they were unhappy with both pieces, then maybe it's possible.
It's just I'm looking for – I don't want you to be mad about the Paterka trade until you get the undisputed best player back in the deal for him. Mike writes in, Byram for Mitts. Byram is clearly a better player. I don't necessarily agree with that at all.
I wouldn't say clearly. I think both have kind of been letdowns since, right? I mean, clearly, Colorado sent him away for not much.
I know Middlestat didn't work in Colorado, but that's a team that is willing to move on from their players. Like,
right.
You want to say Byram's clearly better? All right. He's leaving. He's probably getting traded. And are you going to get the clearly better player on that deal? I don't know. Contracts, all that stuff comes in.
We'll see. Like, that's where, like, even if you won that one, how much did you win it by?
Okay,
Middlestat ended up flaming out in Colorado, and what did he get traded for? He got traded for Sean Walk. No, that's a different deal. Like a pick? I'm trying to find it. But like, okay, so what? I'm going to get more for Byram than Colorado got for Middlestat, and if it's the difference of like a second-round pick, do I really care about it?
I don't know. I also think there's plenty of case to be made that you would rather have Middlestat than Byram right now.
So,
like, don't I need more help at center than I need on defense? I mean, Byram plays well when he's with Dahlin. When he's not, there's not really much there. Like, that's not an asset that I think of too much of.
Yeah, the Avalanche got Charlie Coyle, who's like a 40-point guy.
Yeah.
Just like a middle of your lineup
center. Charlie Coyle, who is like 38?
He's 33.
33, okay.
He feels like 38.
The reason he feels like 38 is he's on the all team of, should the Sabres sign this player? No, the timeline's not right. He's a little too old. And here he
and
is.
That was probably like 7 years ago that we were doing that.
Right.
Right.
Right. We did that a lot.
So, like, they might trade Byram for a guy like that right now. That wouldn't be fine
by me.
32, 33-year-old player that's pretty good is going to play in the middle of your lineup. Like, isn't that what you should probably expect that they would move him for? They're not getting a star in return. As much as I love the idea of this, hey, put them together. Put Byram and Paterka together. I don't know. I don't know how many deals you're going to find like that out there. I would be surprised if they're able to land a deal like that. You're right. Like, it is not a trade that they really make, but it is one that they have to. I don't know how much influence Kekalainen really has on this, but I hope he has a lot, because that is more the type of deal I feel like he was going for when he was in Columbus. And if there's a guy in that room that is making Adams just feel a little bit more comfortable about, yeah, okay, I'm going to give up the farm for one guy, then maybe I should treat this as a little bit of a different situation just with having that guy in the room. I mean, what are you hiring a senior advisor for? Isn't it stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
Let making him feel more comfortable about ideas that you should pull the trigger on this. It's a big swing. It's a big move. You're taking a risk. You could get some heat, but go do it.
Thanks, Ron, for the phone call. I guess my only advice would be there's plenty of time to get mad about this trade if it happens. I just don't think the time is before it happens, when it might not even happen.
Right, it might not.
803-0550. Is there a goalie out there? Would they even do it?
I was just looking at goalie depth charts in the league.
Or is it UPL makes five and Levi we can't block and we're just going to ride with them again? Which, you know, last season that was a gamble. And what'd they do? They turned to James Reimer in big moments a couple times. Like,
yeah.
You know.
Well, how are we going to feel if they acquire a goaltender for Paterka, say? It's not like a star. He's not Hellebuck. He's not Ottinger. He's like a guy who's pretty good. And maybe you feel more confident in that than Luukkonen, but you're not like sure that the guy is, because they're not getting Ottinger or Hellebuck or somebody that's going to be a lock solid number one. Like, I don't think those guys come available.
Oh, and who should they get? Jake Allen, free agency?
Yeah, Jake Allen's a name I thought about a lot this offseason. Just as you say that, Joe, I'm thinking, like, there's not a lot of those guys in the league, period.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty much those elite guys and then everybody else. And if you've got one of those everybody else, I don't know how much better off you are getting rid of a Paterka for another replacement
else,
level
right.
guy. I don't think you're improving anything there. You're taking the same amount of risk on a goalie that hasn't proven that they can consistently be a number one. I don't think that would be if they're like, targeting goalie and Paterka deals, it needs to be a legit, like, you're probably packaging Paterka with a pick or a prospect or something to get a top of the line prospect.
Like, how are we going to feel if they trade Paterka for like Jordan Binnington?
Yeah, I'm not into that. I like Binnington fine, like maybe a little better than UPL.
Boy, I picked the wrong name for it.
Like, there's just not a. I don't trust Binnington enough. Swayman?
Swayman was just what I was going to mention, because he had a bad year, and he has had like, didn't they have a very contentious contract situation last year?
That was gnarly. Like, and missed some of training camp.
And
gnarly.
Then he had a horrible year.
Yeah,
like
I could swing myself to that, because Swayman has the upper echelon to become that. He's still young enough that I think he could be what they need in terms of.
But aren't they going to just, rather than gamble there, just say like Luukkonen will find it?
Yes, I think that there's.
But that is most things with them, isn't it?
Right.
Isn't, like, we'll go round and round talking about potential Paterka trades, and maybe he'll get dealt in Byram and like all the free agents. This is a deep free agency pool, and what is most likely? With them most times, it's they'll do the status quo.
Yeah. I can't see them finding their way to something that they feel that much better about than UPL and Levi, that they would make a move and sacrifice another piece to do it.
By the way,
I just don't see it.
Swayman has 7 years left at $8.25 million. He has no trade protection until July 1st.
Well, there is no chance they're picking up a contract of $56 million on a goalie.
I think that's probably right, too.
No chance.
I mean, isn't that the money they would have earmarked for Paterka?
No. Well, no.
No?
No. $56 million on a goalie? And don't we think they signed Luukkonen because it's cost certainty at 25?
Well, they'll send
five for five.
What if I'm sending Luukkonen back?
I just don't think they're going to.
Because then you're equaling the money somewhat. Like, you're cutting it in half, basically.
Yeah. There's also the Samuelson buyout conversation.
That was, did I see something about that you over did. The weekend?
Yeah, you did.
That they're looking at that and also a trade. I'm just liking that they're even looking at the buyout option, because to me, sure, if you could trade him, I'd take whatever you can get. But buying him out is so cheap that that is, to me, far more beneficial than having him play another game for this team.
If you're tired of the Paterka stuff, which, like, I get that. Joe and I were talking before the show begins. There is about to be possibly a window into how financially restricted the Sabres might be. The cap's going up. Their projected cap space is $23 million, but they have guys to sign. All right, they're going to sign McLeod. Going to sign Quinn, right? Whatever. You could sign a couple players here.
They're smaller, though, because Quinn and Levi are going to be, what, a couple million?
Yeah, sure.
Most the other two guys you have to sign are the two guys that we're talking about being traded, which Paterka, is Paterka and Byram.
Right.
Because if you had just signed all of them, there goes your $23 million, right?
Probably, which would be pretty tough to have a fully capped out team and be this, like,
right. You could have the same team and you would be capped out.
Yeah.
But it depends. I'm assuming Paterka would get like 7 and Byram would get like 6 to 7. Right.
But
so.
He's pointing out where you would be cap strapped. That's what an offer sheet. That's what Philadelphia tried to do to Nashville.
Yes.
On the Shea Weber offer sheet.
Was that because of cap, or that was because they thought the owner was cash poor?
They thought they would not pay it, yes.
Right.
They thought they will not pay, and...
And the owner had to go get a loan out from a bank.
Yes,
yeah.
To pay Shea Weber.
Yeah, the Predators owner had to go get a loan out.
Which probably wasn't very difficult for that guy to do.
No, I'm sure, but he did have to do it.
To the larger point here about like the finances of it, and it's not exactly the sexiest conversation, hey, it's June 24th at 6:37 a.m. Maybe you're on a beach somewhere.
We're talking about loans.
It's early to be on a beach, unless you're out for a walk. Things to do on a beach at 6:30 in the morning.
Unless you're on a beach in like Portugal or something.
Yeah, time zones. Anyway, what I'm getting at is last year they had about $8 million in cap space they didn't use.
Right.
What number does that get to that is uncomfortable for them? If they have $13 million in unused cap.
What do they really want? Because 13, why are you saying it'd be uncomfortable? Because they would not really be able to hide from the internal cap part of it.
Right.
Kevin Adams, if the number was so big.
The GM has said there are no financial restrictions. He said that the future contract extensions have to be accounted for. We've got to create space. They, of course, signed Zucker. I mean, he came back. So,
Are they even hiding from it now, though, really? Like, everyone kind of knows, right?
Everyone kind of knows, but again, $8 million is still living in the land of, like Paul says, I don't need you just to spend the money. Spend it on good players. If there's a good player you can get for $8 million, go for it. But if you can't, then don't. But if that number is $12
million,
$14
million? Certainly 20.
I mean, 20 would be a problem.
20 would be, like, everyone knows what's happening.
It just kind of gets to, like, and the cap is going to continue to go up. How far away do they stay from it? It's just that's probably in the formula down there about like, well, we got to spend. Now the cap's going up.
Right.
Salaries are going up. You'll read plenty of articles. I saw Ryan Lambert yesterday write about how the cap going up means GMs are going to go bonkers in free agency. Like, get ready. The teams that do want to spend and do want to go to the cap, teams that circumvent the cap and use long-term injured reserve, they're going to go for big contracts, and the Sabres are going to be stuck here kind of like, well,
right.
We got no trade clauses. We can overpay, but we have values on guys. So that Frank Saravelli clip right there, to me, that's interesting. Why can't you do it? Well, you wouldn't say because we're not going to write a check for $16 million today. You'd have to say, well, the compensation, where we're going, the value on this player, blah, blah, blah. So Kevin Adams speaks today at 11 a.m.
Right.
And that will be interesting because he'll get asked about Paterka. It's a pre-draft kind of media session. Yeah. But the questions will be there about Paterka, about Byram, about
Talk.
Yeah.
That'll come up.
And his answers will be, as revealing as he wants them to be, I think it'll be impossible not to take something from them.
Yeah. And it's not just, that cap part of it, because it's $95 million this year, but it's been out there that like it's going up to above $100 million. next year, at least the year after that.
Yep.
That it, and it could get up to like in the high, like 108, 109 at some point within a couple of years. I think Friedman had that like a couple months ago. And that's $15 million more than it'll even be this year.
Mm-hmm.
They will have to pay more than they had been paying.
That should lead to in the landscape of the NHL?
Hmm.
These free agents that are free agents right now and RFAs that are RFAs right now should sign for like 2 years. Nobody should sign for 8.
That is what Marner wants.
Yeah.
Somebody reported that, but yep. There was a report out there that Marner would love a 2-year deal.
Because in the NFL, when the cap goes up, 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 you can just renegotiate, get a new contract, tear it up, get a new deal. If you just locked in for 8 years and then you heard the cap's going up $40 million in 3, you are losing money that you'd get if you're on the open market. So there's security in there, but I wonder if the free agents and the RFAs in this current class, and this could be a spot where actually getting Paterka back is easy for the Sabres. Like, all right, give us a little time here. Here's a 1-year, $7 million deal. You can hit your market sooner or later. We'll get you down the line when the cap goes up. But you might have players motivated to do shorter-term deals because of all this money. But since it's my birthday today, I'm not going to lose control.
Uh-huh.
About the Sabres.
About
a Sabres press conference.
Right.
Not even like an outcome. But, man, that was pretty rough. We're going to talk to Paul at 7 o'clock. Paul at 7. 100 holes is tomorrow for me. So we've got Simon Bennett at 8:30 tell us about, the history of the 100 holes as we get going, try to raise some more money for our causes. And, just hang out.
Mm-hmm. Have some fun.
Yep. So, anyway, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Give us a ring. You can say happy birthday and give us a take on the Sabres. For my birthday, fill the phone lines so we can talk and we can, figure out what we're going to do with this hockey team. Yesterday was...
I can't promise that I won't lose control at some point over the course of today.
To me, yesterday was a great example of, I listened to the press conference and, mm-hmm. Sports, one of the things that sports is a monoculture. We all take in the same thing and then talk about it. It's kind of like The Sopranos or Game of Thrones.
Yep.
This is the Sabres show. Around here, everybody watches this show. And I watched yesterday's episode, and I came out of that episode thinking, man, wow. I mean, everything about what was said is the wrong tone to take.
Mm-hmm.
Am I nuts? The GM kind of approaches everything in some defiant, who are you? Who is anyone to doubt me? Mindset. Like, where'd that come from? What's that about?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought how, when we talked to Brandon Bean, he's defiant about the draft, but he's earned it.
Right.
You can be defiant. He's got, we did this well. What are you guys worried about? And even if we don't agree, you kind of have to say like, well, I mean, he's passionate about what he's built, and he's passionate about these decisions, and it's not all been exactly right, but the guy's got a resume. The guy's got some wins on the card. I mean, not a Super Bowl, but whatever. Like, you can bring the receipts,
mm-hmm.
and the Sabres GM cannot do that.
No, is it two of every three times there's a press conference that there is something that is off-putting?
Yeah.
How often is it? Like, taxes and palm trees maybe swallows everything whole and makes it seem like all the time, but it's starting to happen a lot, I think.
Yeah. Well, the news is Paterka has asked for a trade.
100%.
Can we all now say,
yes.
Yes, the agent is posturing. They don't have to do anything, but we all know all the stuff, all the smoke about Paterka is real.
Mm-hmm.
So that goes back to November, when we started to kind of talk about that. Adams would not answer about Paterka, and that's, he doesn't want to lie, okay? So he didn't. He said, I don't want to talk about it.
And in that, he basically told the truth without really telling the truth, because did not do a great job of hiding it at all.
No.
If there was, maybe he doesn't care, if there was a goal in that press conference to not confirmed to everybody that Paterka has asked for a trade, they absolutely did not do that yesterday.
Right.
Under no circumstance did they do that. I mean, it might be tough because they did talk the way about Alex Tuch the way you might have hoped they would talk about Paterka, right? Like, oh, we've talked to him and he wants to be here and be a part of the solution. Like, no, we heard you talk about two separate players in the same press conference in very different ways. Mm-hmm. So I don't think there's any hiding it. And I wonder if the source of the, you know, the attitude or the tone that came across about misinformation in Matias Samuelsson was actually frustration about the Paterka situation. That, you know, misinformation, like, I'm not going to say that the Paterka stuff is misinformation because it doesn't sound like it is. So, but I'm angry about it, so I'm going to take it out on you because of this other Samuelsson blurb that got mentioned earlier in the week.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's the same reporter.
You're yelling about something that you can yell about.
Right, yeah. And it's the same reporter. So, right, but just my biggest holdup is the Samuelsson part of it. To not have the sense that your fans are not mad about misinformation about Samuelsson. That might have been the highlight of their week as a Sabre fan, was the idea that he might no longer play for the team. He's got to be the most unpopular player on the roster.
It's up there.
If he's not number one, he's on the list.
The other players that would be listed below him are players that maybe people don't know are on the roster.
Right. Lafferty or somebody. So the idea that, okay, they are fed up with him and are ready to move on for a buyout that is basically a rounding error on their salary cap. Like, I think that was met with
mocking. It was mocked. The concept was mocked.
And the concept of them buying him out was mocked.
The concept of them buying him out was mocked. We haven't had that conversation once, and that's not fair to Sammy or something like that. Like, that's...
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, the concept was mocked. The funny thing about the Samuelsson thing is, what was it, Monday, that we kind of bent over backwards thinking, what if they thought ahead so far ahead,
right,
that they envisioned this buyout? It actually, the concept of buying out Samuelsson, they don't have to do it. Maybe they don't want to buy him out because they're going to trade him for a second-round pick, and it's a free second-round pick. Who knows? But we bent over backwards trying to think, could they have thought so far ahead thinking that a buyout here wouldn't be that bad if it's not going well? Because the buyout's not bad at all. And then the other side of it was, I joked to you that maybe the buyout dead cap number isn't high enough, and they'd like it better if it were higher, like a Skinner that's $4 million dead cap and $6 million dead cap, which next year Skinner's 6.4. Are they happy about dead caps? Who knows? Anyway, that's budget stuff. But man,
well, there's a huge money part of it too. Like, there's no credit given to the idea, to the fact that they would even consider it. Like, and I don't believe that. Does anyone believe that? That they didn't bring it up for 30 seconds in a meeting?
I think I believe that they did not discuss it.
Not even one time.
Well, when there here's the thing.
Because that to me is a problem, that you have a player that is that poor and you have a way out, and no, what, people afraid to mention it in the room?
They didn't buy out Sobotka, and he was one of the worst forwards in the league.
Did they talk about it, though?
I don't, who knows?
You should at least discuss these things.
Right.
I would think,
you think
when a player is falling way short of what you paid him to do, that's like, I don't, we'll talk to Paul about this. Like, what is the defense for keeping him around? For not even being willing to consider it, and enough to be mad that it would be out there that you would be willing to consider it. It's incredible. Over that player? I mean, in the money part of it, if you buy him out right now, what do you owe him? You owe him $7 million?
Yep.
And yes, it's spread out over 10 years.
Over 10 years.
If you wait till next year to buy out Matias Samuelsson, just a hypothetical, and this is more even for like the Pegula end of it, and that maybe not wanting to spend a lot of money.
It doubles, right?
Well, the buyout doubles, but add in the $4.285 million that you're going to pay him this year. So money you're going to pay to Matias Samuelsson, you buy him out right now, it's $7.1 million. The buyout's 11, and you're paying 0.4, and you're paying him 4.2. So you're approaching $16 million paid to him just by waiting a year and buying him out next year.
It feels like that's the kind of thing they maybe should discuss.
It almost feels like a layup.
Yeah.
Unless you believe the player is way better than everybody else does, or way more important than everybody else does.
There's that word, believe. We believe. I believe. I mean, it's tough because the Sabres, as an organization have been defined by inaction and simply believing things will get better. That's a lot of what they do. I believe in this. And not to shift away from Samuelson, we can get there, but belief in UPL and Levi. I believe in them. I have all the belief in the world in them. I almost want to follow up. How much belief do you have in Connor Hellebuck? Yeah. There's some goalies are good and some goalies are not good and some goalies you're not sure about. Believing right. in UPL and Levi is not a strategy. That's what they did this past year.
For them, hasn't it been?
It has been.
It has not been their strategy.
It's not a strategy. Believing in UPL and Levi, that's what they did this year. And Levi couldn't stay in the NHL.
Right.
And UPL had a terrible year. And in key moments, they rode James Reimer down the stretch.
Right.
James Reimer down the stretch, who basically moved their draft position from, like, what, 6th to 9th? And yesterday, Jerry Fortin says they got, like, 7 players they like.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks to James Reimer. I'm not sitting here telling you they should have tanked. But they turned to James Reimer, a guy that got waived, yeah. and then they got him back. We believe in UPL and Levi. It's just kind of tough. It's really tough to see a professional sports organization run in such a way that they should be as embarrassed as any team in the professional sports sphere about
yep.
their results for more than a decade, and they're still kind of defiant about it. We haven't even gotten to what I thought was the low point of the press conference. And, you know, were there high points?
Of the press conference?
Yeah, was there a good moment?
I guess an indication that Tuck is wanting to stay long term.
Sure.
I feel like that
could change. I mean, like, he might have said, like, I'd love to be here. Let's see how the year goes and let's get into the year and have a conversation about it. Because
yeah.
what happens if a year from now they're talking about a rebuild? He's not going to want to be around for that. Nobody's going to want to be around for that.
Right.
If a year from now Dahlin gets fed up and he wants to go, then Tuck's going to say, like, then I'm definitely going to go. You know? And I don't know if we should plan on everybody jumping ship. But then there's a new GM in theory. Who knows? Anyway, the low point for me in the press conference yesterday was kind of near the end. As we went along, and there's some things that are unintentionally funny that we will have some fun with. And mm-hmm. I will say 1,000 times throughout this process, they could make the playoffs next year. It's not exactly supposed to be that hard. You just make a couple moves. Like, if you went through the NHL's history and found teams that finished with 78 points, 79 points, and then mm-hmm. made the playoffs next year, it's not nuts at all. They could make the playoffs next year. Part of my concern, part of what I guess I would worry about, if they make the playoffs, does Kevin Adams feel like he's crowned? Does he get a decade? Because the job...
He might have that anyway.
Right, that's right. The job used to be, can this GM get us to a championship?
Right.
And now, like, can you imagine the Sabres as good and Adams being shrewd enough to make the moves to get them to the very, very top when most of their plans are just, we believe in this player that's already here. I know his hands are tied on a number of things when it comes to free agency, when it comes to no trade clauses, no movement clauses, but man, it's all just kind of this, I've said it before, they're a second-tier soccer team that needs to get promoted. That they have been relegated, mm-hmm. and they need to get promoted to the playoffs. And for them, that is the Stanley Cup. The Stanley Cup for the Sabres is making the playoffs. And we kind of have to accept that is it until further notice.
Mm.
If they're able to do that, that's the Stanley Cup.
Yep.
It's either that or a right shot defenseman is their Stanley Cup. Because they've been talking about that for 10 years.
Yeah.
A right shot defenseman. Maybe they'll get a right shot defenseman. Anyway, it's my birthday. I'm not supposed to get this snarky. But, all right, the low point. I want to play one clip from this press conference. We'll play more throughout the day. To me, the low point, this brought me back to the Kruger days.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's a moment in this press conference that brings me back to the Kruger days. And that's kind of near the end. Mike Harrington from the Buffalo News asks a very good, very important, very, hey, let's all talk about one thing here kind of question.
Okay.
And that is,
yep.
you guys were bad and nothing happened. Here's the clip and then Adam's answer.
Had a 79-point season, and essentially the only thing you traded out was a strength and conditioning coach. That's, to be frank, is odd. I mean, you're not going to fire the coach. He just got here. You've been here a while. No assistant GMs moved. No assistant coaches moved. Do you get the sense of why people think that's usual and you're just running things back from the same unit?
Yeah, I mean, I don't worry about what people think or... I don't pay attention to noise or outside
perspective, I think I've been pretty clear. I'll do whatever I believe is right to help the organization, which is something that we've backed up over the years in terms of whether it's coaching changes or, like you just mentioned, a complete new strength conditioning, adding Yarmo, adding Eric Stahl. I mean, Eric Stahl has just left a meeting that had incredible, in my mind, perspective and, you know, the way he articulates, this is a really big addition to our staff. So, you know, and I think I just said that if there's an upgrade to make in the coaching staff that Lindy or I felt was going to help our team, then we would do it. Not worried about, you know, what people may think. This is about us doing the best we can in our minds to put the best team on the ice and best staff.
It's a long answer. There's a couple things in there that jump out. But the thing that took me back to the Kruger days was I remember keying in on Kruger at one point because he said of fan unrest and fan anger, It doesn't cross my desk. And I remember that day, I'd like to find my tweet on it. I don't understand why professional sports organizations, and the Sabres especially, do this a lot. Bottrell, fans want the coach fired? Kruger, it doesn't cross my desk. Adams, I don't care what anyone thinks. I don't listen to the outside world. I mean, we're talking about your fans here, not just outside observers. And I don't know, and I can never understand why the Sabres, especially for years and years and years and years, think it's a good message to say, I don't care or hear anything from the outside. I will never understand why anybody thinks, any GM could sit up there and think, that is a good thing to say. Mm-hmm. I don't hear it. Wow. You don't hear it? Then,
yeah.
Open the windows down there. It's insulting.
Yeah.
The fans.
It's to tell your fans that, hey, you're screaming into a void. I don't hear it.
It's to tell your fans, what are you mad about? I don't listen to that. Who cares about that? It's the old, if you're listening to the fans, you're going to sit with them, that old adage, which is, of course, not really true. We don't live in a world where every sports fan is an idiot. Some of us are, myself included, sometimes. But I will never understand it. I'll never. You need someone in a PR role to help there.
Right.
I don't hear it. You don't hear it. I'll never forget. I mentioned those two, that Bottrell clip and that Kruger clip. And here's Adams adding his own. I don't really listen to outside noise. You definitely do. You brought up Samuelson. You definitely listen to outside noise.
He listens to outside noise from maybe the outside, but again, maybe it's not enough of your own customer base because you didn't know that they you thought they would be upset by the misinformation about Samuelson.
Right. I feel bad for our fans because of trade rumors.
Right.
It's really what it is.
So maybe it is that the fan part of it doesn't cross his desk,
maybe.
Which is the most insulting part of it.
Right. And if for an organization that's, you know, tried to mend their relationship with their fans, and the Granato years accomplished that. And how did they do that? Granato was pretty honest. Granato was really welcoming.
Mm-hmm.
He was, when we would talk to him on the air, he would be very, very just whatever. Agreeable.
It's more forthcoming.
Understanding. Right. Very open and honest. Very transparent. And now they're kind of back to not that at all. And Adams, you know, when I think back to when he started and he got the job, there was a humility and an earnestness. We knew he was inexperienced, but right when he got the job, maybe it's because people were lined up to, you know, bash Eichel with a bat.
Yeah.
But there was a little bit of like, all right, you know what? Like, he cares, and there's no doubt he still cares, but there was an earnestness there. And now, like, the humility and the earnestness is gone, and it's defiance, and it's, I don't hear that, outside noise, distractions. And
then to also follow that up with, strength and conditioning coach. Right. And
Eric
should
Stahl.
Have heard Eric Stahl in the meeting.
Eric Stahl and Yarmo. Like, I don't think there's anything bad about Eric Stahl and Yarmo joining the staff. But again, it's off-season number six. It's off-season number six.
Yeah.
And you're saying, you know, we just had a meeting where Eric Stahl gave such great perspective. And I don't dispute that might have happened, but it sounds like my girlfriend lives in Canada. You know, it sounds like you should see. You should have heard about
this.
She
goes to another school.
Yeah, she goes to another school. You should hear. Oh, you should have seen exactly what just happened. I mean, it was brilliant.
Speaking of which, did we find this out for sure yesterday? It just kind of came about that the Sabres have an assistant coach and their two most experienced people in the front office that all work remotely and don't live in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't go to the building day to day.
Which how
Kekalainen lives in Columbus, Karmanos lives in Pittsburgh, and there's an assistant coach that lives somewhere else. Like, just I don't know if that matters. Just
there's a lot of remote work out there.
I guess. Just, there was a lot of things that might have been 50th on the list. But part of me does want to feel bad for him on some level of, even that part of it. You're going into the office. Who's there? I don't know how many people are helping him with messaging, and Yarmo's not there, and Karmanos isn't there when you go into work that day. Like, you were probably underqualified for the job in the first place, and it feels like you're just kind of on your own trying to do it. And every press conference just makes me think this job is just too much for him. This job specifically here, it is too much for this guy.
I don't know that I think that, because I don't know that anybody else given the job would be given the resources to do it.
Jimmy Vaughn.
Come on, Vaughn.
I know he hadn't done very well against this guy, but I got a hunch he's due.
Good morning to the chat on YouTube. The chat we're treating now as a character on the show.
No. See, that's why I love it. We don't even have to mention a guy and just bam, everyone's fist fighting in the chat.
The chat is like, you know, you look out in your backyard and you see, like, what are the dogs doing out there? And you just find out, like, they're after something. And we're getting to the YouTube chat. We asked them to name the Houston hockey team. The best comment I saw was the Houston no state tax advantages. It's funny. It's funny. The Houston Gamblers, the Houston Cheaters, the Houston Melons, the Houston Arrows. Arrows has been used twice.
Arrows is their, and I think that's their minor league team now, the AHL team.
I think it's gone now. Okay. Houston is not getting a team yet, but there's some reporting that a meeting today with the NHL, Atlanta's latest bid is going to come to light, and there might be another one. That's Houston. Meanwhile, Quebec's just up here like, hello? Nobody? They built a rink.
They're never going to go there.
No, I agree.
They have a rink, but no. I like the idea of something space related.
I think that's, you know, Rockets, Astros.
What about the Comets?
Isn't that the WNBA team?
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, well, they're gone now. 2008,
I was gonna
say, they left.
But yeah,
the Houston Comets were a WNBA team.
The Houston Space Cowboys. The Houston, no, that wouldn't work. Armadillos, Houston Oilers, can't do that. Well, I guess you could do that, but you're not going to. No, you can't do that. Edmonton.
Right,
the Coyotes, by the way, still kind of exist.
Yeah.
They're technically inactive, but they exist. They didn't take all the records and the trademarks to Utah. They left it in Arizona as a. It's like being called like a dormant franchise or something.
If a tree falls in the wood, does anyone hear it? This is the Arizona Coyotes. If you don't play games, are you a team?
Right. Yeah, like Wikipedia says they are an inactive, not former, they are an inactive professional ice hockey team.
Okay.
Does that mean their playoff drought
hold on,
is still
hold
alive?
Hold on, hold on, hold on. I mean, it's the softball.
Go ahead.
An inactive NHL hockey team. Oh, I won't. It's my birthday. I'm not gonna take that pitch. Sorry, it's a softball.
You held up your hand though for the YouTube. I wonder if Owen can get a logo up quick enough. We don't need to do that though. Into the hand.
I had something I was gonna say to you right there.
The Houston problems.
Because Houston, we have a problem.
Houston, we have a problem.
Fold the franchise day one.
If that's the name.
I'd like to see that. Announce our logo and our name. We're the problems.
And then the problems.
The other owners are like, you know, no, you're not. All right. Somebody else. Somebody else.
Yeah. Oh, good. Expansion drafts. Sweet. Yeah. Take more players from us, please. That'll be fun.
Yep. All right. What else is going on in the chat? We leave it to the chat. More comments from the chat.
Houston, just fill the team names right
Houston
now.
Galaxy.
Houston Sabres.
No.
It's not fun.
Listen, we were all... This is the old man yelling at Cloud. We all had a stage in our life where we thought, you know what is really cool when sports team names don't have an S at the end of them, and it's a singular name. And
you're
then
right.
A thousand of them came out, and we have to say, like, okay, let's take a break. Mammoth, Kraken. Unless, like, six sports teams are singular names.
Yeah.
Old man yelling. Sorry.
So, like, for instance, like somebody said the Houston Galaxy is an idea.
No.
Like, what if it was Galaxies?
Dumb.
Dumb? But better?
Yes, better.
Just because it's not singular.
But it's, yeah, it's dumb.
Okay. The logo potential would be really cool, though. Like the old NFL Europe Frankfurt Galaxy.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great logo.
The Houston...
Because how many of the new teams have been doing... Like, when's the last team that... The Mammoth is singular. Kraken is singular. Right? Teams that have entered sports. Like,
how about this one?
Is everything in the NHL recently?
The official bird of Houston is the Night Heron. The Houston Herons.
Not the Night Herons?
Just the Herons. It's a yellow-crowned Night Heron.
The Herons.
Houston Herons.
All right, I could get down with that. I'm into it. What about for Atlanta?
Well, I know the bird is the Thresher. This is more bird radio we're doing here. Bird radio.
What's the call of the Thresher?
I don't know what a Thresher sounds like.
Me neither. Clearly.
Right. I just like looking up state bird, state insect, state this, state that. Of course, you know, Kraken. We like. They just said, like, we like this meme.
The city symbol on the flag, I guess, though, is a firebird. So the Atlanta Firebirds.
Was there a team at any point that was the Atlanta Firebirds?
I don't think so. Well, they had... Actually, okay, wait a minute. You know why this is actually good? It's combining the two teams that have been there.
The Fire and the Birds?
The Flames and the Thrashers.
Yeah.
Go Firebirds.
The Georgia Firebirds were a professional indoor football team from Albany, Georgia.
Okay. Okay. I think that's going to be tough to beat. I think you got to go Firebirds. There's not enough Firebirds in sports.
What's the policy on calling them the F-Birds?
No? The Batman won't like it, I can tell you that.
All right.
That might actually get... Don't even mention it to him, because that'll get him to block it, like, for the dumbest reasons. Like, when they blocked the Seattle team for being the Metros, because they had the Metro Division. Right. Still unbelievable. They were going to be the Metropolitans until Bettman said, no, because we have the Metro Division. Good morning. Maybe you are waking up to the news that I know I woke up to. I think the trade happened at like 12:45 a.m. last night.
I had a long day yesterday. Went to bed early because having to get up for this show is not normal for me.
Right.
I got the alert, the text alert while I was sleeping.
Okay.
Did
you wake up to the text alert?
Yes.
Okay, so you kind of did find out in real time then.
I found out in real time from the Sabres text alert.
Right.
So it had been reported, I guess, before they make it official.
Mm-hmm.
But I found out via that, and I had to look at the phone to kind of see exactly what was happening. And wait a minute. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to think, all right, do I get up right now and look into it? No. I'm going to talk about this in like 5 hours.
Right. Go back to bed, rest up. There's time. There's time to get to that. Do you keep your phone then on, like, on alert, like, overnight? Like, your text.
Good question.
If someone texts you, like, there's the ping notification.
I will have to tell you, and so I do. Part of the reason is when I was younger, my father passed away when I was in college. It was more of a late night thing,
mm-hmm.
and that happened. So I've always mm-hmm. been weary of, okay, plus I'm in the business of news happening. Like, I just have to be ready for something to happen. The ironic part is the night the Bills allegedly traded for Antonio Brown, I had my phone on silent without realizing it when I went to bed and did not know.
Okay.
So I actually never had to deal with that.
You didn't. Meanwhile, I drove in here to talk for an hour with Brian thinking that the deal had was done. So I've done a show talking about Antonio Brown coming to the Buffalo Bills.
And I basically slept through the whole thing and then woke up and said, hey, what happened? What are you guys talking about? Right. I didn't see this.
It was over by that next morning.
No doubt about it. But to answer your question, what's funny is a couple nights ago, had a few texts come in late just for things that people were texting me about. And it was like, dude, it's late. I'm trying to fall asleep, but I don't want to shut off my phone.
Right.
You know, so, and then you wake up this morning and it's almost appropriate, right? I think a lot of people are upset. And it's gloomy and it's raining and it's appropriate that what the Sabres did last night trading JJ Paterka. Joe, I said yesterday on the Extra Point Show, you were there.
Mm-hmm.
I said yesterday, I don't see any way this team gets better in 2025 on the ice simply with a Paterka trade. You'd have to get the best player in the deal, and I didn't see that happening at all. There's no way to me they were trading J.J. Paterka and getting better via just a J.J. Paterka trade. So if you're going to deal him, and by the way, the goal this year is to be better, right? You have to be better. You have to win. They're not trying to get. They're not trying to take a step back, rebuild. They're not trying to get younger. The only way to get better via a J.J. Paterka trade is to have a secondary move after that. Doesn't have to be a trade. Could be a free agent signing. A plan that says, yes, we're moving him, but we're replacing him with player X or player XY, players X, Y, and Z, whatever it is. Okay, I would say, I think the opinion is, after what happened, the first part of that is right. They did not get better. They are not better today than they were 24 hours ago. They are worse on the ice than they were. What's next? Anything? Because if you don't replace... If you don't now make another move to get better, this is not a good trade for them to get better in 2025 and be a better roster.
I completely agree. I do not believe that they are a better roster this morning. Jeremy Joe, by the way, Sal is in this morning. And if you have reaction to this trade, feel free to get in on the phone lines at 803-0550. We'll be talking about it all morning. We'll have Matt Bovee a little bit later on in the show. We have some open Paul Hamilton as well. But open time for your calls. It to me, on its own, really the only defense for it, in my opinion, is the, well, if I then go and trade Bo Byram for a really good forward, then I look back on the totality of the deals, and I feel pretty good about it. But how does that feel that that's the defense, or maybe the best defense, when you make a trade of with a player of this caliber? That's generally not a great trade in the moment when your instant reaction is, well, I hope they do this to offset what they just did, because what they just did, to me, is they caved. They caved on a player that didn't want to be here, and they said okay pretty quickly. Like, they did not really show much of a backbone, in my opinion, to trying to figure out if there could be a future here where Paterka would sign a short-term contract, or even see if, like, okay, go ahead. You think you can get an offer sheet from somewhere? Go do that, and we'll match it. Like, there was none of that from this team with this player. I thought, at least from reading Elliot Friedman and listening to Elliot Friedman over the course of the week, it sounded like from him, which was a little different sounding than from other insiders. Like, I think Frank Saravelli was more plugged in on the agent and that side of it. But Friedman had a sentiment for 2 weeks of the Sabres don't want to do this. They don't want to trade Paterka. They'd like to find a way to keep this relationship going. Or they would trade him. They've begun listening. But the only way they do it is if they... I don't think he used the word blow your socks off, but it was, by all intents and purposes, what he said. That you're really going to have to give him a juicy offer to get this player off their team. Michael Kesserling and Josh Doan, to me, doesn't strike that chord. And it doesn't mean that those two players cannot help the Sabres. I think there are some things to like about both of them. Really, what this trade does for me is it confirms a lot of priors about the Sabres that you might have had. One, the players that want to be here mentality, right? Again, no fighting, no, what do you mean you want out? Okay, you have 4 years we have 4 years of leverage, of contract control before you can hit unrestricted free agent status. So, okay, I respect your wanting out, but no, I'm not doing that. I've got you for 4 more years. I'm at least playing you for 1 more of the 4, and he's got to sign. Two, the not spending to the cap. You would have been had that confirmed yesterday. At this time, they could go and use it. Like, Owen, I woke up to your tweet of like, well, now the Sabres do have all this cap space to use. And I'd love for that to be true. How confident are we, though, that the Sabres are going to turn around and they're now viewing this as, man, look at, we got $21 million in cap space now. after trading Paterka. And we didn't have to pay him $7.7 million, which is what he signed with Utah. So we can go use that. That's not how I approach that. That's not how I think about it on the surface. It's, oh, they're not going to spend the cap again because they traded a player that cost almost $8 million, and they replaced him with a couple of players that make less than $2 million total. So that prior would be confirmed. And the other one, which this isn't necessarily a negative one, this is something I think we've known about them for 2 years, which is they want to be tougher to play against. They absolutely want to be tougher to play against. And I think they did that with this trade. They got a good defensive defenseman who I've seen described, even though he's 6'5", as physical, but he's not like the meanest defenseman. He will drop the gloves if he needs to, but he's not going to be a bone-crushing hitter out there. So that helps you. And then Josh Doan looks like he's a player that makes a really solid defensive impact. But what did I give up to get tougher to play against? You know, like I gave up my second best 5-on-5 scorer. Paterka's not great in the power play, but I gave up a lot of goals, a lot of points, and a lot of contract control to get two players that are pretty good.
The only thing that you might get to me to say, look, I get it, you kind of had to do it this way, is looking at the number he signed with in Utah.
Yeah.
7.7 for how many years?
5 years.
5 years.
5 years, 7.7
7.7 for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see fans right now saying, yeah, that's, I'm not paying J.J. Paterka that much. Like, if that's what his asking price was, and he was going to make things really difficult on this organization. But I'll go back to, but you still had, you had control here. Like, you had leverage. Is he going to sit out the whole year? You're going to qualify him, and what's he going to do? Go to Germany and play?
Mm-hmm.
I guess he could do that. And, Joe, there is a scenario. And remember we talked yesterday. We said yesterday, we wondered what Kevin Adams meant by, I'll have more specifics. I can get more specific after the draft.
Right.
If Kevin Adams tells us, and we don't know if he's going to do this or not, if he tells us after the draft, look, guys, the reality is J.J. Paterka was going to make things very difficult and said, and we didn't know how long this could go. We could get to September. He's not playing for us. We had to make a move here because this is what he wanted. We didn't want to do that, right? It's kind of the James Cook situation, but different because the Bills actually, he's under contract and football's different, but you know how you say it could get ugly. And if he says that, and you get to, we had to do that, and then you think, well, how many other teams were willing to pay him 7.7? That's why you got this return. Utah was willing to do it, not as many teams, so you have far less bidders. That's the, to me, that's the only kind of the best way to get to, I can make a little more sense of this. Because otherwise, what I keep coming back to is, you got to be better in 2025. That's the goal. Everyone knows, everyone stated it, people's jobs are on the line. This trade in itself does not make you better. 7.7 for 5 years, would you have been okay with that? If they did this, if we woke up today instead to the Sabres just signed J.J. Paterka to 7.7 over 5 years, what's your reaction?
I think it would have been great news. I think it would have been great news because I don't really view 7.7 as that expensive for a player of his caliber.
I don't disagree.
I think actually we have yet to, as a fan base, Ben,
I mean, he'd be that's more than Tage, by the way. He'd be the second highest paid player. Joshua Norris, right. 7.9. Tage Thompson, 7.1.
How about right that? A guy that some people forget is even on the team because they only played three games, their highest paid forward. But we haven't, as a fan base, really even been exposed to what players like this get in the open market because you have two things that have been working against that. One, Sabres have never spent to the cap. Since, you know, it's been at least 5 years since they spent to the cap. It's like $30 million of unused cap dollars in the last four seasons that they haven't used. So that's one part of it. The other part of it is they sign guys so early that you never go through this with Tage, where Tage at $7.1 million. Guarantee you Tage is not a $7.1 million hockey player. He's closer to a $10 million hockey player. The other thing now is the cap has gone up big time. $95 million this season, and next year there are talks that it could be over $100. So $7.7 million to me would have been welcomed for this player. He's a very good
especially
player.
Especially on a five-year deal versus a leaving even longer, maybe you can revisit and see where you are.
Sure, I would have been fine with the 5 years.
Yeah,
I mean, it was 2 years, I would have been okay with it. Just anything that is going to have him on the ice for you this season. Because this season, I don't care about the age for this moment in time. I'm trying to win right now if I'm that team. And this guy helps me win in a big way. And to have him dealt like this, this quickly, where, oh, man, like the worry of, oh, he might not be signed and sit out in training camp in September. Just come on. I'd hate to harp on the same example all the time, but Jonathan Drouin wrote a letter to the Lightning saying he'd never play for the organization again, and the team said, yeah, we're still not trading you, and he ended up playing for them again. It happens.
And yesterday, the other part of it was what I said when we were on together. If Kevin Adams does this, if he trades him only because the guy says, I'm not playing for you, I don't want to play for you, and his mantra is, I only want players who want to be here, and here you have a 23-year-old who has not developed. We know that. Look, I mean, he's super young in this league, who's a high-level scorer for you, and you say, okay, you don't want to be here, I'm going to trade you. It's setting, to me, it's just setting a bad precedent to keep doing this. Because what's to stop the next guy from doing it? And by the way, maybe that's why they signed, maybe that's why they signed Tage Thompson early and Matias Samuelsson early and Dylan Cousins early, because I just don't want to get a position where they say they don't want to play for me anymore.
They got
it's
spooked.
Not even about the... Right. I don't want to be in that position. You just made it. If this is the reason why you're trading Tage Thompson, guess what? You just made it even easier for the next guy to walk into your office and say, wait, that's all I need to do to get to go somewhere else?
Yeah.
I don't want to be here anymore. Please trade me. Okay. Yeah. I fear about that.
I would too, a little bit. I used the example yesterday of... was high school or college or whatever. Maybe you had this where you have a job, like a retail job that really stinks. Nobody likes it. But you got like a group of friends that are there, so you're all doing it together or whatever. And then that first person quits. And then it's like, okay, I think within a month, everybody's gone. Because like, all right, we're good here. And sure, if in a year, maybe right now they're saying, I'm good. We're going to give it another year. I'm not thinking about it right now. But in a year, if they miss the playoffs again, and Darlene goes, year 8, I think I might be done. And he thinks, you know, JJ got out pretty easily last year.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that contentious. There wasn't that much of a fight. He got right out. Then it might allow them to be... it might allow them to get to that decision quicker. Rather than... an organization that, listen, you can't just do, everybody's got to be dying to wake up a Buffalo Sabre, like Adams talked about earlier in the week. You can't assume everybody on the team is thinking that way. It's just, you haven't earned that as a team and as an organization. You have to earn that. And they have a locker room right now with guys that, it just might be how, depending on how brash a person is, where, okay, a guy like Paterka has the self-confidence to go tell his agent, like, yeah, go get me out of there. Like, I don't want to be there. Where there might be other players on the team that are thinking it every day, but they don't really want to make a problem. And now, when you show everybody else, like, oh, it won't really be that much of a problem. We'll just trade you in a week or in a month, however long it's been since Paterka might have wanted out. Just, I don't like the precedent that sets, and I don't like that... they were willing to set that precedent for only this much. Which, again, like if you don't know much about these players, listen, that's no shame on you. Like these are not really household names in the league. They're young players.
Mm-hmm.
They have played each two full seasons in the NHL. They have actually
one's 22,
really,
one's 25.
Only played one. Right. 22 and 25. Not that they're here to score goals, but they have scored a combined goals in their careers less than what Paterka scored last season. So there's that. But one of them is a defenseman, and Kesserling could be good. I watched some of him this morning. Like 6'5", he skates really well. He has a nice shot, although I did see a good evaluation of him that he shoots all the time. Like he shoots a lot, which might not be a good thing because he only scored 7 goals. But whatever, like there looks like there's a heavy shot.
I'm kind of here for that. That's funny.
Just shoot. Just every time he gets it.
Got a guy that just shoots all the time, and like we're just gonna go mad about it.
Yeah, no matter.
You're gonna love it when it goes in, and then like, why is this guy shooting?
Yeah, he's the Jameis Winston of defensemen.
I love it.
Uncorking it. So that might be a good player. Right shot defenseman, 6'5". Like we could talk more about him. We'll try to get a guest on from Utah at some point, and then Josh Doan, who's gonna help them on defense, good defensive forward.
Let me ask you this. You just said it. Right shot D. Remember, right, Kevin Adams even said in the press conference, right shot deer, very hard to come by. Do you think, is it, I mean, it reads to me like they kind of made sure, like, if we're going to do this, we got to get that type of player back, which kind of pins you in a little bit of a corner if you're going to do that. Like, hey, what's the asking price for J.J. Paterka? You ask, you know, you ask 20 teams who are interested, and every team he talks to, he says, you got to give me back a right shot D.
Yep.
That really limits the pool of what you can trade for.
It does, and I think they probably did prioritize that in a big way, and I would question that. I would really question that, because the whole left shot, right shot D, I do feel like it is way overvalued, especially when the Sabres specifically have two defensemen that lead that position group, one in Dahlin, who has spoke openly about that he prefers the right side because it gives him more passing angles as a defenseman. And then two, Adams is the one who said this, not anybody else, at the end of season press conference when asked about right shot, left shot D and Owen Power. He said that they had numbers that indicated Power is better on the right side than he is on the left. I guess that's not true, or it's true and they just don't care, or they just think that the future he'll be better on the left. I don't know, but I didn't have any problem with Dahlin and Power playing on their offsides. And I think that if they acquired a lesser player because he's a righty instead of a lefty, that's not going to sit well with me. But he is right. Like, there are not a lot of right shot D that are available. They are way overvalued in the league. And listen, that would be one area where I'd like a GM to kind of take advantage of the league, not fall in line with, oh yeah, I'll spend a ton to get guys that, I mean, Kesserling cost a lot to get. J.J. Paterka is what it cost to get this guy as a right shot defenseman who has never played 18 minutes a night per season. He's played it in a single game, I'm sure. 17 minutes and 41 seconds. Okay, let's hear what they have to say about an increased role, because I would imagine they're putting him on the ice 20 minutes a night, at least, to make this trade worth it.
Well, I want to get into today to what could be next, because you have to start thinking now about what they could do.
For sure.
But I'm looking at the number, and I'm thinking about the conversation. Did you hear yesterday the conversation I had with Josh about, you know, how offer sheets work with the AAV compared to a normal AAV?
Yeah, I think so.
So if you sign a player to an offer sheet, it doesn't matter if it's 6 years or 7 years or 10 years. You only take the total value and squeeze it to 5 years for the compensation purposes.
Interesting.
I didn't know this until Marty brought it up on Sabres Live. So
yeah, I didn't.
If you sign an offer sheet to a guy for, let's just use round numbers here, 7 years, $70 million.
Mm-hmm.
It's not $10 million a year. For the compensation purposes, it's 70 divided by 5, not 7.
Really?
Yes. So I'm looking at the number. I'm like, so that's why Marty said this a couple weeks ago. He said, that's why offer sheets are generally no longer than 5 years. Now I look at Paterka's contract. Mm. He signs 5 years, 7.7. I'm thinking that maybe Utah made it known to Buffalo, we're going to sign him to an offer sheet of 7.7. You look at that AAV of 7.7. Offer sheet. What is the comp? Two firsts, a second, and a third. I'm sorry. A first, a second, and a third.
One first,
a second, and a third. If I'm the Sabres, I've said this all along, and I'll stick to it. I'm not interested in that. I'm not taking that compensation. I don't care.
No,
so
I'm not.
So what does that lead you to? Sabres go, okay, we're not paying them that, so just make a deal and give us players. Because because to me, it has to be where the Sabres then said, we're not going to match that offer sheet, but we're also just, we don't want the compensation, so what do you want to do here?
Or you match it.
Right, they could have matched it. I agree with you.
Or you match it.
I agree with that, and they should have done that. But yes. My thought is here, this is what happened.
Right.
That they decided we're not paying that money.
But this is where
for this player.
This is where I just don't, and we got to take a break, and we have some guys who want to get in on the phone lines on this. That's where I just don't feel like the Sabres were squeezed. I know that there was the talk of the offer sheet and, you know, a guy that doesn't want to be there, but I don't feel like they were squeezed that much, because even in a hypothetical like that, I'm still the guy with the leverage if I have the opportunity to match it. Because, okay, I'm not saying you'd want him to play the whole 5 years, but all right, here, you just gave me an extra year of control. You're under contract now for 5 years, and I'll trade you when someone offers something good. I'll look. I'll like to, in respect to the player, like I'll call around even. I'll listen. But I'm not trading you until somebody gives me the value. And until then, you're under contract.
And you need to keep playing.
Play.
If somebody wants you and wants to pay you.
Right. And listen, that's the other. Man, there's a lot of assets or factors to get to on this. And the idea that they felt like they had to trade him. But Paterka, like, you didn't even test him in his agent. Of what if they sit out and don't play for you at the beginning of the season after you match an offer sheet or something, how's that going to look on him? Hockey is not like other sports. Like, hockey culture could look down on you big time for that if you sit out games and don't play. So I think the Sabres should have called his bluff. I think they should have called his bluff on whether he might have sat out or not played or not signed a contract, and they didn't even test it. Michael Russo, who covers the Minnesota Wild, he also is on, I think, SiriusXM. But he reported yesterday that the Minnesota Wild offered center Marco Rossi as a starting package and were willing to include more in a Paterka trade, but the Sabres did not want to add another undersized forward. Now, there was also some Frank Saravelli talk yesterday, as he's been talking about this Paterka stuff for a while, and he said that he thought Noah Dobson from the Islanders or Jordan Kyrou from St. Louis, like really good players, really good players, better players than what the Sabres got in exchange, at least more famous players, more credible ideas, star players in some regard. Dobson's a defenseman who has a 70-point season 2 years ago. Kyrou scored 30 goals like 4 years in a row. These are players that Saravelli said yesterday were on the table. That doesn't mean, though, that they were being offered straight up. Maybe they wanted the Sabres to add in something really valuable on top of it. I don't know. But this is a little bit more definitive, and it is from a Minnesota Wild reporter that has not been in on this Paterka stuff at all. So you might want to believe it's coming from the Wild. That they were willing to offer Rossi and more. I said earlier in the week, I would have traded Paterka for Marco Rossi straight up. And I guess where some people might like to hear this part of it, I tend to think it's not smart to run an organization where you're passing on a better value deal, maybe even by a lot, because of a certain team need. And what happened yesterday was that in that Rossi story, he wrote, the Sabres did not want to add another undersized forward. And that's why they didn't want to do a deal with Marco Rossi centered around it. The player who, by the way, they passed on to select Jack Quinn in the COVID draft 2020. And Rossi has been a better player. I think you're just taking it a little too far with your own team needs. When you are passing on a 23-year-old centerman who has 100 points in his last 2 years, his only two full years in the league, he has scored 20 goals in each of them. He has 100 points between the two, 60 of those coming last season. And he plays a position where, let's face it, the Sabres are not all set. Josh Norris is injury-prone. Yuri Kulik is really young and is yet to take the big step forward. McLeod's a third-line center who had a really high shooting percentage last year, so you probably should expect his goal total to come down just a little bit. You're not all set there. This player, yes, Michael Kesserling and Josh Doan are team need guys. But Rossi was so much more valuable. And the idea that they would not be looking to add anybody else that is undersized, or if that's the genesis of why they wouldn't have wanted to do this, I mean, I do understand it. What the Sabres are trying to do right now is, instead of stockpiling talent, which is what it appeared they had been doing, which is what you usually should be doing, in the first 2-3 years of Kevin Adams being the general manager. Now, it does feel like they are more in a team-building phase, where they would be willing to pass on a better player because they view right-shot defense, Owen Power partner, big size, defense also, by the way, as bigger needs of the team. I do think that's defendable. I would prefer you go for Rossi because he's the better player, and I also think that your top six is still a need. I do think you've got to continue to find ways to score goals, and this player would have done that for you. So, no, you wouldn't have been able to get your big right-shot defenseman, but this is a good player. And what the Paterka trade does is it does open up a hole up there. And how will they get it? The Byram trade market softening, according to Friedman this morning, that's not necessarily great to hear. Because the odds that they... What are the odds they do replace Paterka? Like they fully replace... They get a guy who's going to score 25 to 30 goals, and he's going to put up 60-plus points. What are the odds that they actually accomplish that? That could be internal or external.
They need to.
They do need to. I think they would even tell you
right.
They know they need to. But what are the... They have a couple of different avenues to do it. They have the Byram trade, which we can debate how confident we are that they'll get that player from that. They have free agency, which Brian Russ maybe, that's a name that maybe they're interested in. There was a rumor about that, and he scored 30 goals last year. He's a little older, 33. But he's going to have a market, and you got to convince him to come here. Or, and this is where I hope they don't end up, but it's very possible they do, is... We are going to bet on that 25 to 30 goal production being replaced by one of Yuri Kulik, Zach Benson, or Jack Quinn.
If they end up in that place, doesn't that really reinforce in your mind, I know it does in my mind, that the Paterka thing was about money?
One of the two. It's either about money or it was about the coaching.
Right.
It was about that Lindy was a tougher coach that worked the guys harder than maybe they had been before. And Paterka, just, speculating here, just, trying to guess at what could have happened. Maybe he didn't react well to that.
Right. I think that's possible, but I don't think it would be excusable to have traded away a player of Paterka's caliber, seen him sign a contract that, frankly, is less than I would have thought he'd be demanding.
Mm-hmm.
And if your plan is Jack Quinn's got it, are you trying to make the playoffs? Is that really what you're doing if that's your plan? I mean, seriously, that cannot be where they go. It cannot happen again. They can't do it. They've been doing this for years. And that move would just be a cherry on top of these press conferences and these moves and all of this from this regime that has done nothing but feed that belief. And if they reinforce it by trading away a good young player that does something that you need, they need to score goals. They need to do that to win games. We've seen that they're not going to be a dynamo there, and you just took away another guy that does a lot of that for you. If you can't find a way to replace that guy, you are forfeiting. You're forfeiting.
Yeah.
You can't do it. It's ridiculous. You need to make a move to replace that. It just cannot be. We're just going to hope that these guys that we took that we've seen haven't done it are going to do it. You can't do it. It's the same in net. It's the same. It's way too much of this. You're running a team. You need to run the team. You can't hope the team runs itself. Find a way. You have to replace it. You have to.
I really do think if they don't, like, I think they know they need it. They definitely know they need it.
Of course.
It would really be, it would be a bit of an indictment on the general manager. I know, like, we're jumping the gun a little bit here because they probably will do something.
Right.
And then it will be the sales pitch of, well, you know, is this the guy they really wanted? Well, how much does this player, you know, really fill the need? If it's a Jason Zucker 2.0, it's not Brian Rust. It's a it's a guy who scored, you know, 12 goals last year, but guys, 3 years ago, oh, he scored 32, and like we think we can refine that. It's going to depend how toughest. If they add Jordan Kyrou, it's not a tough sell at all. You've done it.
Right.
You've added a guy that you can bank on. That player is going to come in and he's going to score goals for you. But I do think it is probably likely that there will be something that they do to play in the top six. It's just going to come down to how sellable it is.
Right.
And if it's more sellable than, you know, what, you know, I think we're getting hot about here, which is a plan of, well, one of the kids is going to do it for us.
Yeah, that is... I get how hard it is. Like, Buffalo, taxis and palm trees. We know. But you've got to find a way to do something. And that's exactly, like, you might not be able to land a Jason Robertson. Okay. But you cannot rest on
these
kids that we drafted might be able to do it.
The other thing that I wonder, this is, I've had a big I've had a big thought about free agency and wondering, what's the messaging going to be, assuming they don't land a big name? Because I don't think they will. But will we hear that they tried? Because I get the sense from the Sabres that if they might not even go after guys because they're afraid of this, but if they were to go after a big name, they wouldn't want anybody to know that they did if they don't sign them, because it'll look like they failed. Right. I get that sentiment from the team that they don't want that out there. Like, if they were to go after, I'm not even making Marner, they were to go after Nikolaj Ehlers,
right?
A player we've been talking about for a decade coming to Buffalo. He's a free agent. There's a report yesterday that he's going to hit free agency. If the Sabres were going to try really hard to get Nikolaj Ehlers and they weren't able to accomplish that, I'd want to know about that. I think they would actually get a little bit of credit for that in some ways.
Exactly.
Because you at least were trying. We're seeing that you're trying to get that player. You could still sit there and say, well, Adam's job is not to try. His job is to do it. But
I think
we question whether they even try sometimes.
Exactly. I think that would go a long way to battle away the they're not even trying to get those kind of names in here.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of that. I mean, we heard it today with a couple callers. Like, they're not trying to do what they need to do. And that, I think if you heard they made a serious pitch to whatever, Marner or whoever.
Make it Ehlers even. Because he's not the number one free agent,
right.
but he's good.
And I would love them to sign Ehlers. I think he'd be perfect to replace Paterka. That's the exact kind of move that I would love to see them make.
Yeah.
Even if you just get out there, they were in it. They really tried. They offered him a competitive contract. Ehlers just didn't want to go. I think you're not going to build up any more reputation for how hard it is to get players here. You've already done that to yourself enough. So what you can do is show, all right, I'm going to try and do it.
Yeah.
And that would really, I think, go a long way for the fan base.